Okay, today is one of those bridge shiurim. I want to bridge two different sugyas, meaning we're finished with the sugya of Mishali Shnosav and the letters of the Torah. Then there's a lot of Gemara until we actually get to Kibbut Aveim. So, next week we'll focus more on the Kibbut Aveim stuff. So I wanted to bridge the one sugya to the next, to get from the bottom of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, to Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis. I'm sorry, the other way around. Lamed Amud Aleph to Lamed Amud Beis to the end of Lamed Amud Beis. So, really, just four or five points I wanted to pick on over the course of this sugya, of these gemaras that come up over here. First of all, the Gemara tells us in the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us Tan Rabbanan Chamesh Lav Mishmona Meyos Mishmona Mishmona Pesukim have a Pesukah Sefer Torah Yesh Lav Til Mishmona Chasim Menadivar Yam Mishmona. It counts the number of Pesukim, and this, of course, is important because it relates to what we did yesterday. Just like we're not Bekim Mechaseres Yiseres, we're not Bekim in the numbers of Pesukim and where the Pesukim get split up. It is interesting that the numbers are so close in terms of specifically Divrei Yamim, Tehillim, and Sefer Torah. What the connection is, I'm not really sure. Okay, Tan Rabbanan Vishinantim. Once we're talking about learning Torah, it's important that learning Torah is not just learning Torah. Learning Torah is that a person should know Torah. How well should you know it? You should know it like you know Ashrei. You should know it like you should say, someone says, what's your name? And you instinctively are able to respond with the accurate name, with what your name actually is. Torah should be mechudad meficha. If someone asks you a matter of Torah learning, you shouldn't have to stumble and stammer. You say it right away. Shenemar, how do I know this? So it's interesting because we just said Vishinantam. That's how I know it. Vishinantam. Why do I need a Shenemar? I already have a pasuk that it should be Mechudad Meficha. So this pasuk apparently is coming to teach me something that Vishinantam didn't already teach me. So we already dealt with how can Vishinantam teach me two different things, because we already darshan from Vishinantam, Al Tigri Vishinantam Ela Vishilashtam. The word Vishinantam somehow teaches us to divide learning into three sections. Okay, but over here we make this drasha mechudadim b'ficha, and the Gemara says, here's the pasuk. The pasuk in the darshan is the pasuk in Mishle, emor lechachma achosiat, and the pasuk continues, umoda labina tikra. That a person should be a baki in halacha, it should be clear and engraved in his memory, just like the halacha that you're not allowed to marry your sister. Meaning someone asks you, are you allowed to marry your sister? No. Right? You know that right away. You don't have to think, well, how close a relative is that really? Is it like a shlishi, balkish? You don't have to think about it. You know it's usher to marry your sister. Ve'omer, and the pasuk says, Kashreim alat bosecha kasveim aluach libecha. That the Torah have to be fluent as if they are tied onto your fingers and written on your heart. Maybe let's take one pasuk at a time over here. Emor l'chach ma'achosiyat. What does that pasuk add that we didn't know before? What's the reason that the Gemara has to quote this pasuk? So Rashi just tells us what the pasuk means in this context, that you should be as clear in Torah, you should be baki ba ke'achos chashasur l'ach, like your sister that she's asur to you. Inami Rashi says, maybe it's from the end of the pasuk that we're really quoting. It's the Vegomer that we're really quoting. Moda levina tikra, that it should be yadualach, that bina, understanding, should be yadua, should be something that you well know. The makne, in Dibra Masal Vishinantam over here, says the reason the Braisa Dafka says achoso and not any other arayos is because there is a Gemara that appears a couple places in Shas, in Yavamas and in Makos. But the Gemara tells us that there's a concept, Ein Masirin Minadin, Ein Onshin Minadin. There is a halacha that we do not derive an Isser or an Onesh from a Kal V'chomer. Meaning, the Torah tells me A is Asser, B is stricter than A, so I should say that B should for sure be Asser. How do I know Ein Onshin Minadin? Where does it come from? Ein Masirin Minadin. So the Gemara says we derive it from the fact that if you look in the Pesukim and Chumash that describe the Isser to marry your sister, it says that you're not allowed to marry Bas Avicha O Bas Imecha. You're not allowed to marry your father's daughter. You're also not allowed to marry your mother's daughter. Achoschahi. She's your sister. What does Achos Chikam teach me? I know my father's daughter is my sister. I know that my mother's daughter is my sister. What's Achos Chikam teach me? Achos Chikam teach me you're not allowed to marry someone who's both your father's and your mother's daughter, who you share two parents with, not just one parent with. Well, isn't that a Kavl Chomer? If I'm not allowed to marry a woman who I share one parent with, it's a Kavl Chomer. I'm not allowed to marry a woman who I share two parents with. It's even better than a Kavl Chomer, because a woman that I share two parents with is my father's daughter. She obviously is something else also, but she is my father's daughter. A woman who I share two parents with is my mother's daughter. So it already is Basa Vicha, it already is Basi Mecha, it just happens to be more. But the Torah goes out of its way to say, Achoschi, to teach me, Einon Shemin Adin, Ein Masirin Min Adin. So Machna says, maybe that's the ideal over here. In Bar Lecha Ka Achoscha Sheyasur Lech. Why is Achoscha obvious? It would have been obvious even if it were not Mefurash, but it's Mefurash. It's the classic example of something that's both intuitive and explicit. So whether it be intuition, or whether it be, now the Machna doesn't say it quite like this, but I would just like to take it in this direction. Our knowledge of Torah should be both. Machna says it should be explicit. It should be like something that's explicit. But our knowledge of Torah should probably be on both levels. We should be able to intuit Dvar Hashem, because we're so familiar. You know, some people who are real Talmidei Chachamim, you say a Svara, and they're able to say, that Svara, it's just not going to work. I can't say why, it's not a good Svara. Or, it's such a good Svara, it has to be a Rishon. That can't just be Stam Svara, it's got to be a Rishon. Shachta tells a story, I forgot with who, they told the Svara to, I think Reb Chaim or something. He said, it's too good a Svara, it has to be a Rishon. Then he thought a little more, he said, it's got to be an Amorai. It's a better Svara than it has to be an Amorai. It's got to be a Tana. And he found a Tosefta somewhere or something. I mean, you have an intuition for how Torah works. Like you become so in touch with the way Torah works. So that's the Achoscha, that your knowledge of Torah should be so thorough and so sharp that not only what you studied is Mefurash Lefanecha, but that you also have a natural intuition, even if it weren't Mefurash Lefanecha, to be able to intuit the correct thing. Rav Shech said after Rav Soloveitchik was no longer able to deal with Piskei Halacha and the like, people would call him up and they'd ask him a shayla, and he would say, I'll have to get back to you. I need to think about it, I need to look into it. And they would say, you know, Rav Soloveitchik would often say that, they would tell him, but he would tell us like intuitively what he thinks. So Rav Shech said he was able to do that because he was called Kulo Torah. He was his whole brain and heart were so suffused with Torah that, you know, his intuition, his mistavra, was usually correct. He said, I can't do that. I need to actually have it mevurash until I get to that level of being so, you know, so aligned and so used to Torah. Va'omer, and then we have this second pasuk. The Torah should be written aluach libecha. Now that drasha, that pasuk of kasvei maluach libecha, is elaborated on by the Beis Halevi, where the Beis Halevi explains that there's a difference between Torah shebichsav and Torah shebal peh. But the difference is not that Torah shebal peh is not written anywhere. Torah shebal peh is written somewhere. Where is it written? Aluach libecha. It's just that a human being is compared to a sefer Torah. Why is even being the Gemara says that you tear kriya if you're there at Shas Yitzias Neshama? If you're there when a person dies, you have to tear kriya. It's a big shaila for doctors who are always seeing people dying. So they, you know, a doctor who works in an oncology unit or in works in a hospice or something like that. So they're always seeing people dying. If you're there at Shas Yitzias Neshama of a Jew, you tear kriya. Why? Because it's like a Sefer Torah Shinisraf. What is that in the Sefer Torah Shinisraf? Why is it like a Sefer Torah Shinisraf? Because a Jew is a Sefer Torah. Why? Chakuk aluach libecha. Just like the Ksav of Torah Shebichsav is written on parchment, the Ksav of Torah Shebal Peh is supposed to be Chakuk aluach libecha. It's supposed to be engraved on our hearts. That's what Rav Shechter explains in Eretz HaTzvi. That's why Meisei Akum do not require Kavura. There's no mitzvah of Kavura on Meisei Akum. But Meisei Yisrael do require Kavura. What's the difference? Because the Gemara Megillah talks about the difference between Tashmishei Kedusha and Tashmishei Mitzvah. Tashmishei Mitzvah is like a lulav, something that was used for a mitzvah. Tashmishei Kedusha is like old tefillin or mezuzahs. What's the difference between Tashmishei Kedusha and Tashmishei Mitzvah? Tashmishei Kedusha are things that have actual ksav shel Torah on it. Tashmishi mitzvah, things that don't have ksav shel Torah, is just used for a mitzvah. So the halacha is different. When you have tashmishi kedusha that are no longer in use, you have to bury it. It needs geniza. When you have tashmishi mitzvah no longer in use, you throw it out in a respectful way, but you can throw it out. You wrap it up in something and throw it out. Tashmishi mitzvah. So Rav Shakta said, maybe that's the vart, that's the difference between Meisei Akum and Meisei Yisrael. Chakuk aluach libecha is only true about Bnei Yisrael. I mean, you're inclined to say, oh, the difference must be that Meisei Yisrael are people who did 613 mitzvahs, Meisei Akum only did 7 mitzvahs. But it can't be about the number of mitzvahs. You know, women and men would then be different, and Kohanim would be different than everybody else. It's not just a numbers game. There must be something fundamental. There must be something, you know, defining in terms of the difference. So he said, maybe that's the difference. That for a Jew, it's chakuk aluach libecha. Chakuk aluach libecha means that it's actual ksav shel Torah. For a guy, it's tashmishi mitzvah. His whole life he did mitzvahs, hopefully. He did sheva mitzvahs. Tashmishi mitzvah, you can't be disrespectful to, but you don't. It doesn't require kvura. So you dispose of it in a respectful way. Tashmishi kedusha is tom geniza. Needs kvura. So in the Jewish body, is tashmishi kedusha. That's the word that he said. It reminds me when we see this pasuk. Ve'omer, and there's another pasuk. Kichitzim biyad gibor kein b'nei hanu'urim. The Talmidim that are learning in their youth have to gain fluency. Like a gibor that has arrows ready at his disposal. And he's going to use these arrows. I think there are a couple of important elements of Torah that l'chora could be derived from this pasuk. First of all, why is Torah like arrows? So we're about to see a Gemara, Esvev Besufa, that when you're engaged in Torah, we describe it as a milchama, milchamta shel Torah. That the words are powerful. They pierce. And you're arguing with someone over Torah, it matters. You know, sometimes, like, people argue over something, and you know, they argue over politics, you know, what do you think of this politician, that politician, they get all agitated. But, you know, oh, there's an opinion that holds this way in learning and holds that way in learning, it's okay, whatever, it's fine. No, no, what really matters is Torah. It matters enough that we should get upset about it. You know, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that on Rosh Hashanah, kol b'nei, kol b'ayolam, are holchun l'fan of kivnei maron. The Mishnah says Rosh Hashanah, we pass in front of God, kivnei maron. So Gemara says, "My kivnei maron." Gemara has three interpretations what it means. One of the interpretations, all three interpretations mean that we go single file in front of Hashem, one by one. But one of the interpretations is "kechayelah shel beis David," like the soldiers of David's army who had to be counted before they went out to war, so that we know if we're missing anyone when they come back. But why would we describe "kechayelah shel beis David"? So the Darshanim explain, "kechayelah shel beis David" means that we're judged by what we get passionate about, what we fight for. What really gets us emotional? Is it a football game? That's what gets us really emotional? The highs, the lows, the disappointment, the ecstasy, the agony. But in learning, it's like, oh, ho-hum. I do it. You say this way, you say that way. What difference does it make? It's all good. But no, do we get agitated in our learning? That's a good thing. It should be kechitzim. It should be mochamtu shel Torah. It's also kin b'nei hanu'urim. What we're really trying to show is that there should be a fluency. The fluency has to come in b'nei hanu'urim. Or best, most easily comes in b'nei hanu'urim. When people are young, they have the ability to just retain information in a way that they can't when they're older. Our minds are, the neuroplasticity is just different. Our minds are still forming, and we have the ability to make it part of who we are in a way that when we're older is much, much more challenging. It's what Chazal referred to as a girsa diankasa. What we learn when we're young sticks with us. I remember when I was in YU, Rabbi Yaakov Haber told me once that one of his chaverim was editing Rav Shechter's notes on something. Rav Shechter's notes from Salvation Kshir. So if you ever saw Rav Shechter's notes, he always would add in, you know, a few marmakomos and then write Dalet Ayin for Das Atzmi. You know, that this is my own addition to what Rav Salvation got to say. So you notice in one of the things, in one of the sets of notes, Rav Shechter kept on referencing Chazanish and Taras. And the guy asked Rav Shechter, you know, these are notes on like brachos. Why do you keep referencing Chazanish and Taras? What's the Sheikhus? And Rav Shechter said that when he was a little boy growing up in Philadelphia, His father was an old style rabbi. You know, the old style rabbis didn't have 10,000 svarim. They had a shas and a shulchan aruch, and that's all they needed to paskin halacha. A shas and a shulchan aruch. But that's boring for a child. There's no television and there's no other svarim besides for a shas and a shulchan aruch. And one day, one of the balabatim in Philadelphia came to Rav Shechter and said, "You know, I grew up as a little boy in the same town as the Chazon Ish. And, you know, and recently I got sick. So I sent a letter to the Chazon Ish, please daven for me, that Hashem Rufo Shalema. And the Chazon Ish sent me back, I'm davening for you, and here's a copy of my latest Sefer." It was the Chazon Ish and Taros. And the guy said, "I'm a balabas, I don't even know which way to hold this Sefer. I don't know what to do with the Chazon Ish and Taros, so what do you do?" He gave it to the rabbi. So Rav Shechter said, growing up in his house, there was a Shas, a Shulchan Aruch, a Tanakh, and a Chazon Ish and Taros. So that's how he entertained himself, by reading the Chazon Ish and Taros. And it was his gears to the Yankasa, so it stuck with him. So he always knew the Chazon Ish and Taros better than he knew other things. He left Philadelphia when he was 13 years old, I think, or 12 years old. I got it. Okay, anyway. Ve'omer. And the pasuk says, Chitze gibor shenunim, ve'omer chitzach shenunim, ma'am tachtach yipolu, ve'omer ashrei hagever shomil, ha'shpas me'am lo yivosh ki dabre yisoyveich mishar. Okay, that's all the imagery of war. Maya soivim bishar. So here's the key, says the Gemara. What's oivim bishar? If you have a Rebbe and a Talmud, a father and a son, that are learning Torah in the same gate, in the same base medrash, because they're questioning each other, and they're not accepting what the other one says easily, they're fighting about it. Nasim oivim ze'ezeh. They become like enemies to each other. But by the time they leave, they love each other. By the time the conversation is over, they love each other. Shnemar es vahev besufa, al tikri besufa ela besofa. Es vahev is can be contracted to ahava, that there's ahava besofa. At the end of the fight, they're loving each other. Now this is a troubling gemara. Av ubno, rav and talmido, and they're fighting and arguing. Is that okay? Is that allowed? We're going to have a Gemara pretty soon on Lamed Aleph and Beis that tells us, take a look just for a second, on the bottom of Lamed Aleph and Beis, the Gemara wants to know what the definition of Kibud is and what the definition of Mora is. What's Kibud Aveim and what's Mora Aveim? So the Gemara says, quotes a price, Tan Rabban Ezu Mora Vezu Kibud. Mora. Mora means, Lo Omeid Bimakomov, Lo Yoshev Bimakomov, Velo Sosar Estevarav. You're not allowed to stand in your father's place, you're not allowed to sit in your father's place, and you may not contradict something that he says. Not allowed to argue with him. So, if it's Lo Sosar Estevarav, how could it be that Avu B'no, Rav Talmido, they're Oivim Zezeh, they're fighting with each other. So apparently this seems to be an exception to the rule. So the Taz in Yeridea, Simon Reish Mem Sivkot and Gimel, Taz writes, "Bitur Siyem Shenir Kemachriya Divrei Avin." That if you let me give a little background, Taz writes on the Rama over there that if you're father's arguing with someone, don't say Nirin Divrei Abba. Even he's arguing in Talmud Torah. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says that, the same Braisa. You're not supposed to be Machriyas Devar. You're not supposed to say Abba's right. So the Torah says that that's because you're Machriya Divrei Abba. Elim Yesh Lo Tshuva L'Hashav Al Chol Kim Yashiv. If you have what to respond, though, a raya against the guy who's being cholik on your father, then you could respond. That's what the Torah says. V'had Metzinu B'Tor Chosh Mishpashat Or Cholik Im Aviv Kama Pamim. Asks the Taz, if you're not allowed to be Machriya Divrei Aviv, you're not allowed to say, I hold like dad or I hold against dad. The Torah does it all the time. The whole book is Kasva Adoni Avi Arash Zal, Kasva Rambam Zal. And he paskins. And he argues with his father a bunch of times. Hainu Shalom Befanav. That's because his father wasn't around anymore. Because only Befanav is Asir. Mikol makom nearly dimu cholik al aviv yesh od acher shomer ka aviv v'hu rotzal lochiach v'lichtov daito gedasa cholik al aviv. Even if it's shalom b'fanav, says the Taz, though, let's say you know there's a machlokas between your father and another chacham. Your father's a great talmud chacham. There's a machlokas between him and someone else. Let's say the Torah is looking at a machlokas between the Rush and the Rambam, And he knows that Rashi holds like the Rush. I'm sorry, Rashi holds like the Rambam. He shouldn't mention his... No, Rashi holds like the Rush. He shouldn't mention his father in the discussion. He should say it's Machlokas, Rambam and Rashi. Don't say it's Machlokas, Rambam and Rashi, if you're going to pass on like the Rambam. Because then it looks like he's Machriya, Divrei Avin. Only mention Shema Acher, Kivin Sheyuchalas, was Derech Kavod Yaseh. Meaning, even in the arguments that are permissible, one still has to retain a sense of Kavod. He says the Torah did that. He said, I found the place where the Torah was really arguing with his father, but he said that he's arguing with the Bala Trumas, because the Bala Trumas held like his father. And that's why he did it, B'derech Chavod. So yeah, we talk about they're not some oivim zezeh. It looks like that they're arguing, it looks like they're fighting, it looks like they're against each other, but they're not really. But in the end, they love each other. But even in the course of that argument, an avu b'no, the ben has to be careful, keep as much covered as possible. The emes of Torah is most important, so you shouldn't allow something false to be said. So you can argue, and that's okay, but it should be done as respectful as possible. The Shach in Yerodei Reish Mem Sivkat and Beis says he disagrees with this task. He thinks even Shalom B'Fanav is Asir. There's no difference between Fanav and Shalom B'Fanav. It's just maybe in learning is different. In fact, the Pischi Tshuva on the spot quotes from the Atzmos Yosef here in Kiddushin that a ben ima'av yucholim lahakshos ulataretz ulahasik maskonos ha'alacha ve'im b'zeh mishum sosos tabarav. They can ask and answer and say, yeah, but what about this, what about that? It shouldn't be combative in the sense that I'm arguing with you. It should be, how are you going to answer this? Here's the problem. What are you going to say about this? So that they can come out to some sort of psak halacha. Rav Avadya Yosef is a fascinating tshuva, whether he's allowed to argue on the Ben Ish Chai. You know, Ben Ish Chai preceded him. Great Sfarik Chacham. So is he allowed to argue? And he quotes someone who says that you're not allowed to. And he writes, this is Rav Avadya Yosef in Yechav Daschil, Dal Tzimin Un Hei. He says, Be'emes shekol devrei amein lehem shachar. This whole argument is ridiculous. Shein zu darka shel Torah. You're not allowed to argue on someone who's greater than you? V'lo kasav agon ma'ari bal tshumas adeshem v'psakov she'yachal ha'talmul v'achlo kol rabu shekachi darka shel Torah v'yimei atanoim. He says, what do you mean? That's a halo kasav agon. Didn't the Tshuva session say that you're allowed to argue on your Rebbe? Because that's the derech of Torah. That's been that way since the days of Tanaim. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, ha'yicholik alavi, v'rabo, Rav Moshe ben Gamliel. Rava, ha'yicholik al rabo. Rush, cholik al maram Rutenberg, rabo. Chem Tshuva sara advaz, chem uvor b'tshuva sara rush, ha'torah emes ksivba, ve'in machnifin l'shem adam. V'makom she'ish chal Hashem, ein cholkin kavol l'rab. If you have to make sure the Torah is emes. Umi lanu gadol me Rashi. Was there a rabbi greater than Rashi? And who would argue on Rashi all the time? His own children, his own sons-in-law, his own grandsons. All the Balei HaTosfos, they're so sensitive to Rashi. Yiftach bedoro kishmul bedoro is our model. And he says, v'kol zeh pashen ma'od b'talmud emevi. V'agon Rav Yosef Chaim Atzma b'kam mekomos cholak al chidah, v'agon Rav Chaim Palaji v'shar achronim. And don't tell me I'm not allowed to argue on the Ben Ish Chai, because the Ben Ish Chai himself argued on the Chida and Rav Chaim Palaji and all the other gedolim that preceded him. Of course, that's darker Shalton. So what does it mean that they're Nasim Oivim says that you're allowed to argue it out in Torah? But again, what we see in the Halacha is that even when you are arguing out in Torah, you have to pull back a little bit in terms of the way you express yourself. Sometimes the way you express yourself to a Chavrusa should not be the same way that you express yourself to a father or to a Rebbe. Good. The other Gemara tells us a little bit about the Yetzer Hara. Tan Rabbanan. The Gemara tells us, we have a brace of a samtem. Samtam. It's like this fantastic medicine. Nimshal Torah kesam chayim. It's an elixir of life. Mashal Adam Shikas B'no Makagdol. A person, let's say, gives wounds his son badly. V'iniach lo retia al makasa v'armelon. He puts a bandage on. He says, "Beni kol zman sharetia zol makasa chal mashanascha shtei mashanascha." As long as you have this bandage, it will protect the wound. You can eat or drink whatever you want. Nothing will happen to you. Ruchos bein mecham b'mitzon. You can take hot baths, cold baths, whatever. Ve'inat misari. You have nothing to be afraid of. But v'imat amavi. But if you ever take off this bandage, harei malanomi, it's going to start to become infected. So Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Lem Yisrael, Hashem tells the Jewish people, Banai, Barasi Yetzer Hara, I created Yetzer Hara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlin, and I created a Torah as the antidote to that Yetzer Hara. V'matem Moskim V'Torah Yenatem Nimkarim B'Yado, Nimsarim B'Yado. If you are involved in Torah, you will not be given over to that Yetzer Hara. That's your bandage. Shnemar Alom Tetev Seis V'Yemeinatem Moskim V'Torah. But if you do not observe the Torah, you're not involved in Torah, you will be given over in a sense. Shenemar, la pesach chatas roveitz. V'lo odel shakol masau matanobach, and he will put all of his focus on you. Shenemar, ve'elecha tshukaso. His tshuka, his desire, his drive is to come after us. V'matarotza atamashalba, but you have the ability to rule over this yetzer hara. Shenemar, v'atatim shalba, because that's what the pasuk says, atatim shalba. So a couple of things over here. First of all, there's a Gemara that we saw recently when we were doing the sugya of Nashim in Talmud Torah. There's a Gemara in Sota of Chaf Aleph and Beis. Talks about the relative protection offered by Torah and by mitzvos. The context was, of course, the Sota. Woman is a sota, and she's given the mei sota, and we say that if she has certain zuchios, they could delay the outcome, or even they can help her out. So the Gemara talks about the zuchos of Torah, because that's where it came up about women learning Torah. That's what the Mishnah discussed, whether it's b'kol malamis pita Torah kilu tiflos, or maybe better to teach her Torah because she'd rather live, and the zuchos of Torah will help her. So the Gemara in Sota is machlokas Rabbah and Rav Yosef. When we say that Torah is Megin, the Torah is Megin u'matzil, Torah protects a person from suffering and saves him, matzil, from the Yetzer Hara. Rav Yosef understands that b'idna da'asukba, bein b'idna da'lo asukba, whether you are learning it currently or not learning it currently, it is both Megin u'matzil. It protects you from Yisurim and from the Yetzer Hara. But Rava says no. B'idna da'asukba agunei amatzla. While you're learning Torah, so then it does both of those things. It protects you from the Yetzer Hara, protects you from Yisurim. But ubeinu delo asikba agune magna tzule lo matzla. While you are not learning Torah, it will protect you from Yisurim, but will not protect you from the Yetzer Hara. Right? That's what the Gemara in Sota. We just saw that Gemara last week. So in the Masifta over here, he quotes a Tshuvas Maharit, where the Maharit writes that l'chora knew our b'risa. What does our b'risa say? What's this mashal that we say over here? The father slugs the kid, wounds him, and what does he tell him? Here is your bandage. The bandage in the mashal is what? Torah. What does he say? So long as the bandage is actually on you, you'll be what? Protected from what? What's the context of our Gemara? Protected from? What? Well, infection would be in the mashal, but I'm saying, what's the nimshal? The Yetzer Hara. You'll be protected from the Yetzer Hara. Right? So, l'chora, our Gemara is muchach like Rav Ashita, because what does it go on to say? And as soon as you take off the bandage, it's going to be infected, you're going to suffer, and you're not going to be saved from the Yetzer Hara. So it sounds like Shita's Rava, because according to who was it? Rav Yosef, Bein Bidda Dasukwa, Bein Bidda Dlo Asukwa should have protected you. So l'chor, it's exactly like Rava. So according to Rav Yosef, that even when you're not protecting you, even when you're not wearing the bandage, it's going to protect you. So how does that shtim with our Gemara? So you could just say, okay, nachnami, he doesn't go with this price. Maybe there's some other brisa that indicates otherwise. But Pasha says it should bother us. It's a brisa against an Amora. So the Marit suggests that this brisa is against the brisa in Sota. Because the brisa in Sota says that the zchus of Torah protects a person from Yisurim li'olam. According to the brisa, it protects a person from Yisurim li'olam. Or we just say that the whole machlokas is Rabban Rav Yosef is whether the Torah protects you even when you don't have it, whether it protects you from Yetzer Hara, right? But Yisurim it protects you from forever. So the machlokas Rabban Rav Yosef is going to protect you from sinning. But according to our brisa over here, even when you're not learning Torah, it's Matzal Yimenachet. So what's he saying? Our brisa is against the brisa in Sota, because it says that the zchus of Torah protects you from Yisurim forever. According to the brisa there, it's machlokas Rava and Rav Yosef, whether it also protects you from sins forever. In this brisa, even when you're not learning, it protects you from sins. Meaning, machlokas. I think he's just saying enechinami. But then he says something else. The second answer, I think, is something else. Maybe when the brisa says vimata ma'avira, when our Gemara says, our brisa says, if you take off this bandage, harei malan nomi, it doesn't mean when you're not learning Torah. It means when you remove the bandage. See, not learning Torah is something that you do passively. Rafu yedeihem midivrei Torah is something that you do passively. Why is that the mashal of removing a bandage? When you leave a bandage alone, it stays there. So removing a bandage sounds like something different. What's removing a bandage? Actively removing yourself from Torah. That's what we're saying. If you actively remove yourself from Torah, then it will no longer protect you. Being that the lo asuk pa just means you're still a ben Torah, it's just not during Seder time right now. That's what the Gemara in Sota was talking about. But here we're talking about actively removing oneself from Torah. So that's one point about this issue. The other point, we said Barasi Yetzer Hara Bara Torah Tavlin. So the Bali Musa are big fans of this Gemara, and they assume when it says Bara Torah Tavlin that it means Torah Samusa. Meaning, if you're really trying to defeat a Yetzer Hara, so the Chari should have to learn Musa. Meaning, how does learning Shoshan Agachas Parah really help as a Tavlin for the Yetzer Hara? Birke Yosef in the Chidon, Birke Yosef in Arachaim, Simon Aleph, Sivkan Aleph, says every time Chacham should be Kovea, Kipam Bipam, Lilmo Besifrei Musa. Because anyone is Gadol Mechaver, Yitzhar Gadol Imanu, the Gemara tells us, and a person is going to be learning Halachos, Mechadesh, Chidushe Torah, he might start getting arrogant. And he might start thinking, oh, look how great I am. So it's important to learn Musa, a person should humble himself. It's very critical in life to always have something to humble ourselves. Now, I think they say B'Shem Ramesha that, like, you know, Mesilas Sharm writes in his introduction that there are no Chidushim in all Mesilas Sharm. So Shechter always says over, yeah, so Pashas, you don't really have to learn Mesilas Sharm if you really know how to learn Gemara. Meaning, it's not that you need a Seder Musar per se. It's that you need to find Musar. But Musar can come off the pages of the Gemara. Remember, Rabbi Tendler once gave a Sichas Musar when I was in YU. And he opened the Gemara and he read the Gemara. And he showed all the amazing messages that emerged from that Gemara. He said, you see, it's the best Musar Sefer. If you know how to learn Agadita, if you know how to derive the Musar, it's the best Musar Sefer. But that a person needs to see the Musar in the Torah, because otherwise Torah can also be something that's a source of great pride and great arrogance, and that's not a good thing. Any quotes here in the Panini Alach section of the Masechta? He quotes the same from the Pele Yoetz to learn Musar. And then he quotes in Avkas Rocha, where the Avkas Rochel writes, Kosser Rav Hillel Lichtenstein, Av Bezdin Columbia, Sharak Limul Agados Musar Shal Mamari Chazar, who Chazal, who a Tavlin Rotia Shuchal, the Mukhosh Yitzhal, not Scholadish Lomirosan. Rakaleim Amr Chazal Barasi Yetzer Hara Barasi Torah Tavlu. You know, you want to say it's Musa that keeps away the Yetzer Hara, you have to be careful that it's Torah Dika Musa. You know, I often tell people my favorite Musa Sefer is whatever, you know, secular book I need to be reading that has really good Musa in it. What does that mean, though? That, I think he's trying to say that can't be your Musa Sefer, because how could you say Barasi? Hashem created that. That's not Torah Hashem. Unless you're able to find Torah messages and it helps you understand the Torah, and you look at that, you know, psychological study, and you say, "Wow, that's exactly pshat in this Agados Chazal, in this Gemara, in this that." That's where it becomes Torah. That's where it becomes the tavlin of the Yetzer Hara. Okay, let's move on just a little bit further in the Gemara. The Gemara then gets into how to handle the Yetzer Hara, what to do, and how evil the Yetzer Hara is, that even Baruch Korah. But then the Gemara starts teaching us that you have to teach your son an umnus and la siyo isha. I just realized what time it is already. Maybe we'll save that for next week a little bit, because there are very interesting questions over here. Because it says you have to teach your son an umnus. Do you have to teach your daughter an umnus? It doesn't say anything about that. It says you have to marry off your son and your daughter. Does a mother have to marry off a son and a daughter also, or just the father? And if you look in the Rambam about La Sioisha, you look in the Rambam about teaching him to swim and marrying him off and teaching him, the Rambam doesn't mention any of this. So why isn't it in the Rambam? So maybe we'll have to discuss that tomorrow. I mean, not tomorrow, on Monday.